right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
For me slightly, and then Carr, if you want to play with around with your lines, I'll have it on recording. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. I mean, are we going live with this, or are we waiting to?
If you do a really good table read, I may just keep that and use it. So I will. I'll also, here's what I can do for you. I can give you a little bit of inspiration, and I can play the song. Do you want to hear the song?
Yeah. I think that
you need the song. I knew you would. Okay, give me a second, and I'll get the song.
Yeah, I think the song would get me in the problem.
I'm gonna take this chance to rip a vape, so I don't actually interrupt this for once.
Yeah,
I can play the angel song for you if you want some inspiration, Carl.
Yeah, why don't
you can just really go for it?
Okay. I don't know if this is going to help or hurt.
I'm going to laugh.
I don't know if this is going to help or hurt. Let me give it a shot. For years, Bird has been unleashing his unique brand of oral torture upon the world. His jokes? Unfunny. His insights? Non-existent. His production skills? A tragedy in three acts. But you, dear listener, have the power to change everything. I'm Carr, Bird's longtime co-host, here to remind you of the grave, almost unfathomable reality we face every time we hit record. Let's be honest, we probably diminish the sum total of human knowledge with every episode we release. Yet, our Ahab, our mad captain, Birdo, presses on relentlessly, with the resilience of a plastic bag drifting through the wind.
That was good.
Pretty
I have
good.
To say that was
I stumbled
very good.
On one word. I wish I hadn't done that, but
I can always get with you to clean it up. But
yeah,
that
well, you
was...
want to throw it through some AI or something.
Yeah. That was good. I'm feeling
pretty good.
Emotional.
Good. Set the tone early for this episode. Let's keep it down.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm feeling like I want to give myself lots of money.
Way down.
Yeah. Practice day. Yeah. Today's a practice day. I don't know if you noticed, there's no news. There's not one piece of news. I don't
Hold
know what
on.
Happened.
There is news. Pause to the rescue.
Good.
Okay.
Did you guys see that Donald J. Trump is now on the stock exchange?
No. Public.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Is
publicly
that
trading DJT, the Trump Media and Technology Company.
He went public.
That's amazing.
It like changed his valuation by $7 billion. It was brilliant. Him. It was brilliant. What's going to be what's ironic is that he's going to have to sell these things in order to make the bond that he needs,
and then he'll just return to Twitter.
So
that's the plan.
I may offer some commentary on some other stock news I was also excited about a couple weeks ago. I was on r/WallStreetBets again, and what was once a bastion of retard-basedness has fallen to the libs because they are so down on Trump stock, it's not even funny.
Really?
Truly.
I'd be
the
so
last
up.
Bastion of edgy 2012 idiots is dead.
Man.
Jesus, I would have been so up on this Trump stock. Is that
you'd
just
think,
me?
You'd think. I mean, boomers are going to buy it at any price to say they own a share of MAGA.
Yeah. That's true. I am, by the way, I'm boomers. I will be buying what I can, contributing to the cause.
It's
buying
trading MAGA at like $60 a share, I think. It's pretty
That's
affordable
not bad.
As far as that stuff goes.
Not bad. One share of Trump.
What kind of gun do you think would be the best to stick into the side of the banker that's valuating us?
something small.
Yeah.
Something that won't miss.
Yeah. What muzzle do you think will just like hit the ribs just right?
I was thinking into the temple. A real statement.
Wow, really? Yeah, the come out bold.
Aaron, are you in this Google Drive thing. I need you to, you're a good reader. You to do a run. You're a great reader. Don't say that. God. You're a great reader. You're always reading on other people's shows. You're reading a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You go, you're virtually constantly. We had to pull you out of a podcast just to get you for this read.
Reading somebody else's review on somebody else's book on somebody else's podcast.
I really like,
excel at that.
I hope it gets to the point. You know how like Germany just became a nation of mercenaries in the 1800s, and to the point where like mercenaries were fighting other mercenaries in other wars. Like I hope that's what happens. Like Aaron is reading a review of himself on Timeline Earth for another like a rival podcast, and he's just so entwined in his own scheme that it becomes circular. I would like that a lot.
Like a retarded version
he's
of Autobahn
selling
Bismarck.
Our secrets yeah. to other podcasts.
A gay retarded version.
Yeah, yeah.
All of our confidential memos.
Yeah.
I'm doing a review.
Do discovery
a review of confidential memos sent to me
yeah,
by
this
Bert.
This one sucks. This one's all right.
The Watergate tapes, but for Timeline Earth. There we go.
Yeah.
Wait, where is this? Where is this drive?
I sent it in the chat. Maybe because you weren't in when I first sent it, it's not in there
for
you.
Yeah, I believe. Send it again.
I'll send it again, because I think it's really going to be good. I tried to make it. I don't know, Carr, if you've reviewed the whole document, but I tried to make it so that we're all playing like a different role. You're really leaning in, Carr, and Aaron is going to come in with the punched. Hey, like, don't you feel bad? We need him to be the heart wrencher, and then pause. You're there with the hope.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's hear it, Aaron. I need you to do a read. Take a quick look over it, and I'm going to play the song. And whenever you feel like you're ready to start reading, just start reading. You, that little fucked up dog walking around. I can never get that image out of my head. Little fucked up dog.
The fucked up dogs of the podcasting world.
Bumping around. Three legs.
And guess what? You, dear listener, have front row seats to this dumpster fire. By not joining our Patreon, you're missing out on an exclusive opportunity to directly fuel the dumpster fire that is Timeline Earth. Yes, you heard that right. Your support doesn't just keep Bird in a state of bare minimum employment without insurance or the promise of retirement. It also endorses our collective descent into the abyss. Can you sleep at night knowing you haven't done your part to support a suffering fool like Bird? Our podcast teeters on the edge of disaster, and you are just standing there doing nothing? What does that say about you? Evil? Perhaps. Foolish? Definitely.
That was
but
good.
There's hope.
Wait, hold on. I'll play it again. Pause. I didn't know you could go right into it. Here, dun. The little fucked up dog.
Can you fast forward the song a little bit so like there's some
dog walking? I can't. I can only play it like this. We gotta get through the fucked up dog part.
Fucking monster.
Wait for him to trot off screen.
Now there's a cat with one eye, a little baby with a hand growing out of its forehead. Don't you want to give these little freaks money?
But there's hope. I'm Paz, and I believe in miracles. Despite the cacophony of chaos that is, quote, Timeline Earth, unquote, your financial support can be the lifeline we so desperately need. Your contribution to the Timeline Earth Patreon is more than just a donation. It's an endorsement of things to come. With your support, we can continue to churn out the barely mediocre Zog slop you've come to expect from us. Nay, that you've become addicted to. And now, you can take pride in the bizarre addiction that you've developed to our humble program. You have the power to make a difference. A difference in Bird's sad, pathetic life.
Very good.
Wow,
I mean,
powerful.
This is so
that
good.
That might be
you
the best one.
You guys are all
yeah.
way better than my takes of this. This is incredible. Wow.
I spent that entire time fighting a kitten climbing his halfway up a fucking screen door.
On the other side of the room.
Yeah, no, this is good.
You probably heard me grunting.
This is fellas.
Well, I can barely hear anything because
that was so good. Oh, all right. I'll get with you to do the rest of this. We'll put it together. This is gonna make me so much money.
Yeah, dude. This is your ticket out. This is your ticket out.
We have some news, a little bit of news today, fellas. If you want to hear news, that is.
Yeah, let's do news.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Before I hit the button, I want to say Happy Easter to everyone out there. Happy Easter, boys. A time of renewal.
Happy Easter.
A time of eggs. A time of Jesus. Great things happening. We got a, you know, our president, Joe Biden, took a lot of flack recently for making this year's Transgender Day of Visibility on the same day as Easter. But he did give us an Easter shout out. A most perplexing Easter shout-out. I don't know if you guys heard this, but
He
shouts out a curious character we haven't heard of before. So let's hear what our president had to say.
God bless you all. Enjoy the day. And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Did he say oyster?
Is that oyster
maritime themed to Easter? Yeah, this holiday season, the maritime Jesus.
Yeah, oyster bunny sounds very like dirty, nasty.
Yeah,
the height of virility, oysters and rabbits. Dude, he loves to fuck. We've said it before, so that was probably a Freudian
That's
slip.
True. He knows a couple of oyster bunnies out there in Delaware.
He just takes a handful of oysters and shoves them in his mouth,
right.
And then like marches towards the bed.
I'm an oyster bunny. I love pussy. Happy Easter.
Jesus.
He's going to be still the president.
He is on him and Kamala are both on Quaaludes. I just know it. I feel it in my heart. God. Happy Oyster Bunny or whatever it is. Really, all of the
she
listeners.
She loves to slurp dong, too. They really are a power
They
pair.
Really are. Car, are you feeling the oyster season spirit?
Yeah, sure am, man.
Excellent.
It's a powerful one. It's very difficult to avoid.
Woo!
Yep.
Are we ready for the news now? We hyped
Yeah,
in?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, let's play some news.
Mark Campbell, we were talking on a Linear Mail podcast or possibly main episode recently about white ethnic groups and all the things related to that. I was thinking about your idea that the Pennsylvania Dutch are a indigenous American ethnic group separate from the English and from Anglo-American culture. I was thinking about it. I was thinking, you know, he's on the verge, as usual, we as a program, and thank you for joining me today. Paz, lovely to have you. Love the snakeskin shoes. Car, as always, thanks for joining. And Aaron, great to see you again. Glad to see the surgery went well. Everything looks pretty
functional.
I would say this to you fellas. The white ethnic breakup, I think, is coming. The Big Apple. Apparently, there's a bill going around in the state Senate from Representative Sam Piruzzolo of Staten Island. He proposed a law that would exempt businesses, some of them are legendary local establishments, from a new green city edict that is forcing restaurants to reduce emissions of burned coal, burned wood, by 75%. Piruzzolo said, as his reasoning, "I'm trying to stop discrimination against ethnic restaurants. These misguided laws will go against businesses that cook ethnic food." The kinds of ethnic food he's talking about? Jewish restaurants and pizzerias. The breakaway is happening, Carr. The breakaway is happening every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Piruzzolo is creating an act called the Preserving Our Culinary Traditions Act, which specifically waives the burning of coals, woods, natural gases, propanes, and other fuels for the purposes of cooking or preparing ethnic foods. I know of another group that has strong culinary traditions in the United States that are different than the Anglo-American typical fare, and that would be Pennsylvania Dutch Carcampet. Am I right about that?
You are absolutely correct about that. Yes.
The breakup is happening.
It's happening. It's here.
You heard it here first. Carcampet's becoming a race realist.
Yep.
A Penn Dutch racial realist. Something to celebrate. The rules, Pirozzola says, are ridiculously anti-business and amount to a war on traditional cooking methods. In the memo explaining the bill, Pirozzola notes that Kathy Hochul, the unelected zombie president of New York City and state, was banning gas stoves, furnaces, and propane heating in new residential buildings, which, by the way, is leading to a lot of these buildings are being set on fire because people have to use those little plug-in space heaters for everything. So all these houses are being set on fire because they keep banning the entry of new forms of heating. It's pretty awesome. The bill is set to see the Senate next month. It's currently in draft and seeking support in the legislature. If this passes, this is a great sign for us, and we need to be ahead of this.
You heard it here first.
Let's take it to the next piece. We predicted this as well. I believe we predicted this on a Linear Mail episode. A bridge was exploded and destroyed recently, about a week ago. There was a bridge in Baltimore which was completely destroyed by, from what I understand, several Indians and Frenchmen. As I was reading, it's all Indians and Frenchmen piloting the boat. So I woke up to this lovely story on Tuesday morning.
Can I drop a caveat here, please?
Yeah.
It's worth noting that that is the actual sailing crew, but their actual harbor pilot is actually a reformed, allegedly reformed meth junkie that's local. So.
Really?
I heard it was a Ukrainian.
And then you mean reformed?
A lot of ports do have those local guide pilots just for this sort of stuff, which makes it an even more colossal fuck up.
Amazing.
Do you mean reformed like a Calvinist?
Like had drug charges in the past, allegedly got clean, but now this makes you wonder.
A Calvinist pilot.
Just making sure.
Yep, that explains
just
it.
Just making sure. He's at the wheel going, it's going to happen anyway.
It was always determined that this was going to have to happen.
As he's inching the wheel closer and closer towards the side of the bridge. Kind of awesome to target one of the things holding the bridge up. Was pretty cool. Yeah. That was pretty based. So that happened as well. What else do we have in the news here?
I got some bird news.
You know what? There was another crash into a bridge that got less play. There's a bridge on the Arkansas River also that was struck by a large barge. This is two now in 1 week. Do you remember how earlier in the year we predicted, well, the listeners actually predicted it, that boat-related incidents were going to make news in the next year?
Did they really?
Yes, they did. We are already rapidly shifting from airplanes and their incidents to boats and other maritime-related incidents. Just want that to be very clear that we're making this change already. Probably 6 months early.
Is this a sign of our mimetic potency?
Could be interpreted that way.
I think it has to be interpreted that way.
Would it be all right if I chose to read it that way?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's an important way to read it.
Do you think the boat is an egregore?
Now pause. All you did by explaining that there was a former meth addict on board furthers my idea that we created this event in our minds first. Do you think if more bridges like this go down, there's going to be serious economic problems?
Yeah, you got to wonder what the economic fallout is going to be from this. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's going to be immediately catastrophic for the entire country, but certainly for Baltimore, it seems like that might be an economic problem.
So why wouldn't it be, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question.
Is our just-in-time supply chains not badly damaged enough already to lose one of our main ports?
Well, I mean, I would have said that years ago, but I mean, I got.
We keep chugging along.
We keep chugging along. I don't know. I'm lost. I'm like, yes, the answer seems like yes, but maybe no. I don't know.
The only way for us to stay ahead of the competition at this point is to start bombing everyone else's shit.
The answer is always nothing ever happens.
Well, this is kind of where I was thinking about it, is how many more bridges can really go down? And I'll tell you why. For a while, we tracked 18-wheeler incidents. But there's a lot of 18-wheelers in the country. So we decided we would start tracking airplane incidents. And there's a lot of airplanes in the country. Now we're tracking boat-related incidents. How many bridges are there in the country? Because
I don't know.
20? 10?
Yeah. No, it's a good question.
It has to be the case that ports, major ports and bridges and things like that, major sources of the transport of commerce, we do at least 50 of these shows per year. So if that's 50 bridges, if we do one every week, and we've been getting 17 airplane stories per week, how many bridges can we get per week? Two? If you're a pilot out there, let us know what you can do for the cause.
I found it very interesting that that particular bridge in Baltimore took 5 years to erect and commission. And now they're estimating, back in the early 70s when it was built, it took 5 years. Now they're estimating 10 years, double.
And how many billions of dollars? Mm-hmm. Like a $50 billion estimate or something?
Like a 10-year time span, and yeah, just in the billions. Like Biden's like, oh, I'm going to give $100 million for the rebuild effort. That'll cover it, right? They're like, yeah, that'll get like one pylon.
11 Truth Socials
competency crisis
in order to afford the bridge. It's again, and now if some guy, and I'm not saying I want this, who's listening to the show gets distracted for an hour, and they don't put the anchor down, and maybe they fall asleep at the wheel, and it turns it just a little bit towards the Brooklyn Bridge, something massive.
Oof, we would.
I'm not saying I want that at all.
No, but no,
if that
right.
was to happen,
we would cover
it on this show, and we would say we told you so.
We're not saying we told you to do it.
We wouldn't say that we told you to do it.
We're saying
let's
we
be
told
clear.
You so.
When I say I told you so, I'm more so saying we
There's
predicted
no
this would happen, not that we directed it to
and
happen.
You can rest assured that we probably won't cover it in a favorable light.
Right.
No.
We told you it would happen, not
no.
that
yeah,
you need to make it
Most
happen.
Likely.
We won't. We'll cover it to the exact advantage of this podcast in particular, but our coverage is not an endorsement.
Most likely not an endorsement.
Or a direction to do it again and then
Absolutely
again
not.
And maybe three times or four times or however many pilots there are who listen to this show. We're not.
And
we don't want each one of them
so.
To do it, but we will cover it on the show. And we will tell you that we told you that it would happen. What else is going on out there? Anybody got any news that you're bringing to the table? Who's got some stuff?
Owls.
Owls?
I've got an owl.
Birds.
I've got an owl.
I got a raptor.
A raptor.
Oh, well, raptor goes first. Jeez, raptors, yeah. Right.
Raptor before owl? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Fake before real? Let's hear it.
Let me tell you about...
Mears. Do you need the song for this?
Yeah, my good, my God. I need some
Just... No, this is going to be a brutal story. So,
this is bird
some
news?
Of our more sensitive listeners, yeah, well, yeah.
You're going to hate us.
Are you the raptor, yeah. Aaron?
No, I mean, this is why I picked the story.
The raptor is our listeners' wallets.
This bird is just like me. This bird is living I want to live vicariously through this bird.
Okay, let's hear the bird story.
All right, one population of Eleonora's falcon is reported to keep little birds alive inside rocky prisons, a behavior not seen in any other raptor species. Its name is Eleonora's falcon. It lives, its breeding grounds are in the Mediterranean and off the northwest coast of Africa, wintering in Madagascar. It eats insects, bats, and small birds.
But not right away.
Yeah, I tried to say that as ominously as possible.
Okay.
The Eleonora's falcon is a small raptor that takes its hunting abilities to the next level. By catching its prey alive and keeping them imprisoned, it captures small birds, strips their flight feathers, preventing them from being able to fly, then stuffs them into rock fissures or deep holes from which they cannot escape.
God bless.
Strangely, at Walmart.
It gets better. You knew this was going to verge on into the race issue.
Oh, great.
Strangely, silver only one lining. Population... silver lining. Strangely, only one population of Eleonora's falcon is known to partake in this unusual predatory behavior. Do you guys want to venture a guess of where that population is from? What continent?
No.
No?
No.
You don't have any suspicions about certain patterns you might recognize?
I wonder.
Scientists think that by keeping the birds captive, the raptors can keep their food source fresh until it's needed. While the majority of the prey are small songbirds, they also eat swifts, hoopoes, and some waders.
Is Aaron going to do the bird segments from now on? Is
that was a strong submission to the bird category.
It was. Yeah. And I want to remember he said he wanted to live vicariously through this bird.
He seems like he's having a good time.
He does. He does seem like he's having a good time. That's true.
It's fun and easy.
That's great. Carr?
A government proposal to kill 500,000 owls sparks controversy.
No. Not happening.
Yeah.
Not good.
Unfortunately, that's... Yeah. I won't allow
it. Owls are messengers of the devil. They deserve to go.
Yeah, probably.
Is that right? Is that where we're... I can't... A proposal by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to kill roughly 500,000 barred owls to protect the spotted owl has conservationists and animal welfare advocates debating the moral issue of killing one species to protect another. The proposal published in November gained attention in recent days after dozens of wildlife protection and animal welfare organizations signed a letter opposing the plan. You know, this is not a, it seems like a sweeping plan to basically exterminate 500,000
not
owls.
Not good.
Which is a large number of owls. 500,000 owls.
There's a lot of those owls. Can you imagine? I hear them all the time. They're my favorite owl.
Yeah. I love owls. Owls are cool. Despite, you know, perhaps the spiritual aspects of owls.
Love
I
them.
Enjoy them in the physical, you know, universe.
Not gonna happen. I will go to war for this particular type of owl. So shout out to those birds. What else you got? Do we only have bird news?
Do we need other news?
Well, that was one of
I'm surprised
news items. I mean, I'm sure there's other news out and about.
I got some ecology news.
Hit me with some ecology news. I'd like to hear
a seal was
news.
Strangled to death by a plastic beach toy the other day.
Oh, no. Where?
The Lincolnshire Wildlife Trust says that it has seen an increase in plastic waste on the beach. And so they took this picture, a young seal with his head through the ring of a beer can, and he's fucking dead, dude. He's gone.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Can I just say that one sounds like it might be an op?
It could be an op. Well, it could certainly be an op, but I wouldn't want to have to be the guy to strangle it. Okay. Pretend you, are we pro-seal? I know a couple of our listeners, one in particular, would be Gnome, are extremely anti-seal. Where are we at on seals?
I don't
seals?
Like them. I used to see them all the time. That's like an anti. Out really? Buoys when we were going out. You know, going from port to out in the ocean.
Remember, Aaron, I said seals. I don't know if you misheard me for another word of what you might be describing, but I did say seals, the animal.
Pretty much the same reason as probably the word you missed.
Seals.
Thinking.
Car, pro seal?
Pro seal.
I knew you would be. I am too. And
I like seals, yeah.
Pause. Anti-seal?
I cannot bring myself to have an opinion on them.
Seal agnostic.
Seal agnostic. Well, I think that's the quorum.
Let's pivot that. I want to be seal gnostic.
Seal gnostic.
The third way.
Leaving his position as the chief human officer to become the seal gnostic of the podcast.
Nobody can know about seals. Okay.
Every podcast needs
that. Does sound like a quorum to me. Doesn't it sound like a quorum to you fellas?
That's a good
hey,
point.
Hey, you know what? Like I actually have some agreement. More bird news.
Okay.
That's awesome.
My job is easy today.
Bird heavy episode.
And it combines birds, bridges, and Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, okay. My.
Yeah. This is going to be a hard hitter. So Washington Bridge inspections show lack of access due to pigeon debris and other issues. This is from News Center 10 WJAR from last Wednesday.
Local news. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's where you get the best stories.
I see that you've been getting DMs from Dune, who's been putting in overtime. A lot of local news.
In hundreds of pages of inspection reports from 2014 to 2023 obtained by NBC 10 News, it's clear the Washington Bridge has had its share of issues. Despite problems including rusting, cracking, leaking, the West Brown Bridge was one of many across the state rated in poor condition, but still deemed safe until an engineer discovered broken rods in December. The inspection reports each detail how certain areas of the bridge can't be examined easily. Mm-hmm. Part of a 2015 report notes that one area is inaccessible for inspection due to severe accumulation of nesting pigeons and pigeon waste.
Yeah.
Mentions of pigeon debris blocking areas of the bridge are found in each inspection report over the past 9 years. All right, so that's pigeons and bridges, things we both seem to enjoy nowadays. I think I sent you a screenshot of this exchange is part of the press conference with Pete Buttigieg, who was out there for one of these inspections. This guy Caracciolo, a nice Italian name, who needs to identify as Italian and not white, asked, "Does that concern you? Do you think the state needs to reevaluate how their inspections are done?" And Pete Buttigieg responds, "Yes, thanks very much for coming out." He said, "We're having the press conference."
Got him.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fucking power move.
He is. He has so many power moves. Does this all the time.
Do you think he's a nasty little guy?
Do we think that goes back to his heritage with the Knights
of Malta? I do. I think he's so confident.
Can we start memeing about that?
I think he's
again?
Such a confident guy owing to his past. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, so confident.
Just fucking big dicked.
Absolutely. Point of discussion here? Can I bring up? There seems to be in every major city now that I go to, bird shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. It feels like I didn't. This has this always been a thing?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not been in any kind of anything that could be called a major city in probably 5 years.
So no bird shit.
I don't see it because I don't go to these places.
I don't
do that as some kind of flex. I'm saying I don't have the information base to evaluate this. I'm sorry.
That'd be amazing flex. Wow, look at Paz.
I noticed.
Big non-city guy.
So
flexing on us again.
I have a theory about that. Here's my thesis. So
you have a theory about why there's not bird shit in the big
You have a concept,
cities?
You mean. You have a concept.
No, I actually have a theory.
No, he's got a theory.
So
it's one level
going
above
through
concept.
All of these bullshit... Bullshit infrastructure bills, right? Like, we supposedly have been spending hundreds of billions of dollars on infrastructure upgrades in the last 10 years. This is big push because everybody sees everything falling apart.
Big push.
But part of the pork barrel spending that they've been slipping into each one of these bills is to feed the pigeons Mexican food.
No, think about this.
A refried bean diet for all city birds.
Oh, Counselor, did you direct $25 million to Bean Burrito?
Bean Burritos for the pigeons?
That's
Why
correct.
Why is the pigeons capitalized?
Thomas Massey would tweet about it.
And only Thomas Massey.
Yeah, just him. He'll
just goes over the heads of every other congressman.
Here on page 2075, it says bean burritos for pigeons, nothing else.
That's correct.
Budget unlimited.
No, but my theory is
I'm reclaiming my time back.
You know what? Fine. Fuck you.
Aaron is trying to explain this to the council, and they only want to have their time back.
You know, Let's it's like the here. Always Sunny episode about bird law.
Yeah.
Sure have.
You guys have seen that one,
it's
right?
More like when he's reading the will and he's trying to explain that I'm not talking to your dead mother. I'm merely reading something that other people wrote.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you doing this?
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Dude, that would be so great.
No, but my theory is that they're putting one of the pork barrel things is that they have to show for infrastructure upgrades is pigeon spikes everywhere. On every surface that's reachable, you have pigeon spikes. So you're getting more concentrations of pigeons everywhere that there's not spikes.
The only place where there's not spikes is around the Mexican food bowl, so it just lures them into eating more and more refried beans.
Aaron, is your theory that the amount of pigeon spikes is concentrating bird shit in some small areas?
No, it's concentrating them in every other area.
Every area that doesn't have the spikes. And that's why I'm seeing so much bird shit.
That's why you're
when I see it,
more
it's
bird
everywhere.
Shit. It's the same volume of bird shit, just in
more dense,
more visible
in more dense in some areas.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because I also see the bird spikes everywhere. And they don't, and by the way, they don't seem to
that's
work.
Infrastructure.
Maybe they do work, because there's not as much bird shit in the areas with those.
Bird spikes are infrastructure. Never forget.
Bird spikes are infrastructure.
New t-shirt.
A pigeon holding a burrito.
So are you suggesting then that the more bridges will go down because more bird shit will corrode through things?
Yeah, or more bridges will get more bird spikes.
Or they just clean the bridges? Do they not clean bridges?
I don't think so. I think they repaint them. Like, they have to. Periodically, but, like, who the fuck actually checks that?
Yeah, that's true. Not me.
That is a painful question.
Who the fuck actually checks a lot of this, like, supposed preventative maintenance that gets
done? Yeah, not me. Aaron, I have a different topic that relates to something you called. So, Carr, you're one for one on this one. Pause, you're one for one regularly. Aaron, you're now one for one on this. We did a linear mail, possibly. I don't remember under what name it was. You and I did 2 weeks ago. Yep. One of your theses was the battle growing between Israel and Netanyahu on the media stage. Just the other day, we got from Benjamin Netanyahu, the whole world is ganging up on Israel and has forgotten about the October 7th terror attack. I just noticed as I was reading, there's a growing criticism. Netanyahu is going to be the fall guy, which was your thesis.
I haven't seen that specifically, but yeah, I mean, that's going to be, they will probably end up getting rid of him. It's a question of whether that's going to placate the more pro-Palestinian factions of the Democratic Party. Like the voter base, particularly the grassroots.
Where were you on, do you think it's going to succeed?
As far as will Netanyahu serve out his term?
Well, will he take the brunt of the international judgment with him?
That's a good question.
Will they make him Hitler?
That's a good question.
Is that legal?
Can you make somebody Hitler?
Wait, what do you mean?
No, I mean, like, would they even actually, for really, be able to pull this kind of maneuver off?
I don't see why not.
In terms of the media battle, I think they have the apparatuses available to.
It's just a matter of, like, will it accomplish their stated goal?
I don't know about legal, but...
And I guess that's kind of more what I'm asking, well, I suppose. Let me phrase this another way. He's not and has never been bulletproof, but he's a guy that just keeps coming back. Like, how could any campaign against him actually functionally work?
Yeah,
he's been around forever.
He would
need to lose 90s, his financial backing, which is very possible because his financial backing is the West.
Yeah, do you think that there could be enough of a reaction or maybe a warning by the, for example, AIPAC or ADL over here and being like, hey, Netanyahu, things are getting bleak over here. We need to have a chat. I mean, is that something that could happen?
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
Really?
No, I think it comes down to dollar signs. And if this guy is seriously endangering Israel's ability to raise money and kind of just recycle it through influence peddling.
Yeah.
I think if he threatens that system, it's almost like Bretton Woods. It's just like the system that has been in place forever. Then, yeah, right. I think he would be in danger.
This is kind of an interesting question, though. Is it more important speaking from Netanyahu's perspective, is it more important that Netanyahu retain popularity in Israel, or if Israel retains more popularity in America?
The latter,
like those two.
Well, who's being asked the question?
Yeah, that's kind of what that's where I fall.
Why do we think it matters what the grassroots?
Well,
that's where I'm at.
The D's need the grassroots because it funnels in.
No, the grassroots in America don't matter. The grassroots in America
for manufacturing
don't
consent.
Get planted until the elites decide they need them somewhere. The opinion that matters is the American elites, not the Israeli elites, and not the grassroots neither.
But you have to have the grassroots manufacture the consent of whatever the opinion of the elites is.
Well, that's the key word, right? That's manufactured. Yeah. They decide what the grassroots thinks.
What's been interesting to see is this divergence where they've been trying to force two separate things, which is like brown people always good and Jews always good. And now they're at odds.
Right.
And now they're having trouble controlling that grassroots.
And so what
and
that comes back
matters,
to is my longstanding theory about how the elites are not a monolithic class, but are their own intra-class struggle.
That's the only way where I would move away from that is, and the college campus seems to be the area where this is happening the most.
The elite class has the same competency crisis in continuing to manufacture its own successors that the broader Western world has in fucking birth rates, though.
But wouldn't that therefore agree with the idea that the next generation of college elites will be anti-Israel?
And that's what I'm saying. You're definitely on to something. But that doesn't change my operating theory. It's just there's going to be a new class of them because the current ones failed to replicate themselves. And that's their problem.
Do you also see an agreement among who would be qualified as the grassroots? Do you see that same anti-Zionist agreement?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty clear that some faction of the elite won the push to have that be their issue de jure. And which faction of the
You're sticking to the chronology of this. It's still the elites making the decision first.
Whichever faction is anti-Israel is the one that got to win the arm wrestle contest to touch that lever of power this time.
You do not think that, or some version of not thinking this. Do you think that Twitter had a role to play in the manufacturing of this opinion?
It's the only reason Twitter was ever worth a shit in the first place. It's because these are the platforms that fat-brained sudes can be convinced to go stir up the rabble on in exchange for the trivial token of making them feel like they were in the know ahead of time.
I resent that.
So you think even the response on Twitter wasn't grassroots?
It was seeded. Because all news is seeded on Twitter before it's allowed to touch the mainstream. Because, as I said, this is where the striver class gets their news from. And that, too, is part of the manufacture of consent. It's one of the prime dissemination points.
But don't you think the emotional capture is still a decision point for the general public?
Well, that depends. How do you feel about the agency of the average American?
Okay. I don't know. I guess this is... I can't completely root out the possibility that the populace still has the ability to pressure successfully the elites. I'm not fully an elitist on this.
You know what? I wish I agreed with you. I can give you that.
I think in certain... If you could divide the elites up into different industries, I think popular opinion is a lever you could pull for some of them. The overlap between those industries and our foreign policy position towards Israel, that I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I guess I'm kind of balancing two different things. I definitely agree with Paz with respect to, I think that a lot of this stuff is seeded on social media, even if it's only just for like kind of trial, like weather balloon stuff, just to see how people react. But that being said, things can get out of hand quick, especially in the social media era. And I do think that generally speaking, this anti-Israel, even if you don't want to call it a grassroots movement or an organic grassroots movement, there is grassroots. Like the people that I encounter in day-to-day life are, I don't know exactly how to phrase it. I don't think that they want to be dealing with this issue, but are almost feeling forced to emotionally. I think that there is some organic level of the, of, I guess maybe what I'll say is I think that they're, that in the ideal world, I don't think that they would want to have to deal with this backlash from, quote unquote, grassroots libs, regarding Israel. Now, was that planned by a smaller somebody vying for more power within the elite? You know, I don't know. Maybe that's definitely possible. But I, by and large, if you kind of think of the shit lib, you know, block, I think that this is creating more problems than opportunities.
Do you think
them.
That this is a narrative control failure on the libs part because of the grassroots leftists?
I think it's possible. But I mean, I know that Paz would probably land on the other side of that, but yeah, I think it's possible. It just doesn't feel desirable to them. Like we all know, like when there's a narrative that they're pushing and it's like, oh, everybody is united. They want this. This one feels fragmented and very difficult and forced. And it's forcing awkward conversations. It's forcing people to have to say things that they
it's
probably
forcing
don't
a lot of
say.
Awkward conversations between and leftists and liberals.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Not conversation.
Right.
In the most cases.
Yeah.
Shouting like the way that across from one like another, both of them being surprised by the other one's opinion on this some reason.
Like the NPR, like it's been hilarious to hear this on NPR because they just don't know what to do with this. I mean, they have absolutely no idea how to curate this issue, and it's
there is a weird timidity also between the two because they know that what's at stake here is the kind of if they don't get this right, the left will completely fragment.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And and so the both of them know that and feel that that's a precious thing to kind of maintain. Yep. So you're getting, on the one hand, in person, a lot of these timid conversations. And then on the other hand, under the anonymous like lifestyle, whether it be in-person anonymous or online, there's just such an extreme of opinions on both sides. It's very schizophrenic what they're having to deal with. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a preview of things to come once
Very
Trump
good.
Is out of the way.
Oh, don't say that. We want him in. Stock needs to go way up.
Whether that's 2024 or 2028.
Oh, man.
It's a
preview. Can you imagine 2028? Was he going to be 95 years old?
Yes.
I'm saying like once he wins this and he's definitely not being president again in 2028.
Oh,
unless,
right.
Well, don't say that.
Unless.
Don't say all that. Yeah.
Cryo
we can hope
Trump.
For the best.
Yeah.
Cryo Trump. Who killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Hell yeah.
Came out and the legs on Schwarzenegger.
another Penn Dutch guy.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Original Penn Dutch. Yeah, he's Penn Dutch. You didn't know that?
That's going to be my next. That's the next phase of my plan is claiming insane people as Penn Dutch.
Oh man, that reminds me of like that Louis Theroux documentary with all of the Black Hebrew Israelite guys. George Washington was black.
Yeah,
you can do all like that. Like just claim everybody's Penn Dutch.
Salvador Dali, Penn Dutch.
Dutch too, though. Interesting pick. Interesting second guy.
We need him. We need him.
The visionary.
The visionary. He's our prophet.
Very good.
I just found something we might find interesting.
Hold on. Let me do the outro, and then we'll go into the final thing. What is this image that you've just shared with us?
Does that not look like Danny DeVito as the Penguin in the original
the
Batman?
Penguin. Wow.
That is
Danny
uncanny
DeVito was
resemblance.
The Penguin, wasn't he?
Look up Rachel Crandall Crocker. That's a hard name to say. Rachel Crandall Crocker. Yes, there is a Penguin-esque element.
Yeah, that is insane how...
And who is this? The Trans Day of Visibility founder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like...
There's a dwarf-like appearance. You know, like in the old pagan stories about dwarves, these mystical guys in caves and things like that? This is a mystical-looking guy.
Yep. I agree.
Okay. Good. Well, we have some bonus topics here that we can go into perhaps on an Over the Line. We've got Alex Jones Schmooley Part 2 possibly in the works. We've got...
So did any of you guys actually listen to that?
Full thing. I watched the full thing. It's a real work of art.
It just smelled like such a fucking psyop.
We need Rabbi Schmooley on every platform in America. 24/7, we need him out there. We want him on the show. Please, Rabbi Schmooley, I've sent you an email. Come on the show. It will be great for everybody. That's my appeal. We also have the Diddy stuff.
We should do a separate episode about that.
Which the Diddy stuff, I'm going to surprise you with my take on it when we get to it. Finally, we have some airplane news, so we'll save
those
for
another line. Actually.
The Diddy stuff
was good, actually.
Nothing happened at nothing all. Happened, nothing ever happens. Yeah. That is going to be my take, so maybe we'll do an Over the Line, get that out there for the Patreon listeners.
Yes,
hey,
we should.
We have Patreon. We have a t-shirt store. It's all in the description. Send us money. Send us a lot of money. So... with that, I guess we'll leave here. Carr,
yeah,
I'm going to ask for this. A 1 to 10 on the news this week. I want to know your feelings.
8. I got an 8 on this week. It was good news week.
8.
Yeah.
Pause, Aaron. How do you feel?
You know, maybe it's just in my head, but I thought it was some quality work this week, gentlemen.
Good.
You're all wonderful.
I'll give it a 4.
Jeez.
It wasn't a complete failure, but I also was not impressed at all.
Well, that was great. Yeah. I'm going to give this one a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Hey, great job, everyone. Full house. We had a great time. This was a really great little podcast that we did today.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Till next week, two hands on the wheel.